Well, it's good to be here. I was thinking back, the last time I was able to come was before COVID, and
that's right.
Here we are all these years later, and a blessing to be here. Before I start, let me update you what's going on in the prison system and down at the Milwaukee Rescue Mission. I did services last night. It's rich, very rich. And they offered me this past Saturday and next Saturday for Easter. And I have a young lady at 42 that's coming with me to do praise and worship when she can. And she's been a total blessing. And she's really good at what she does. And she goes to the women's prison with me. And she's awesome. Her name is Tamala. She's a new... Tamara, she's a new addition to our ministry. In the prison systems that I'm going to now, some of the prisons that I'm going to, they have an upgrade on equipment, big screen TVs, they have new band equipment, new equipment to do sound and audio, and some are just absolutely doing nothing. They don't even have a praise or worship. But then there are those that are thriving, and it's been a mixed bag. But it depends, a lot depends on the chaplains. A lot of what I see right now, I don't see anybody that really doesn't believe God. They don't believe that he exists. I don't run into that all that much. I was preaching at my church back on the 8th, and I made that comment that what I see is, people don't want to make a commitment to God. But the existence of God and the fact that he created everything, that I don't really run across all that much. So it's been great. And it's been great being able to break the chains of people that are enclosed in different things that are going on in their life, their past, and being able to see the Lord, the Holy Spirit just come in there and just break down all the walls of division. See people come to know the Lord. And the biggest thing that I run across is people that can't forgive themselves for their past and how they got into the system to begin with. And what's rich about that is the Lord comes in with his love and he melts all that pain away. He melts away all of that. If they want, melts away all of that so that people can go on and live their life. They can't do nothing about their circumstances unless God moves in that, which he can. But what they can do is they can go forward. That's right. And they can enjoy life, and they can enjoy going to chapel, and they can enjoy people like me coming in. I'll tell you what works and what doesn't work. What doesn't work is a word of faith thing. That doesn't work there. Prosperity type gospel thing doesn't work there. The people want meat potatoes. They want the truth, and the truth is what sets them free. And so that's what they come for.
That's right.
And the guys that are in the maximum security prisons that I go to, which is many, they love just me coming in there and just, with all the love I got in me, share the love of God with them, but truth, whatever that truth is that they need to hear, that they come in with that. So,
thank you, Jesus.
This
thank
being you. Palm Sunday, I wanted to share a message from John 18, but started John chapter 8, and titled, What is Truth? And so, in John chapter 8, Jesus heals a woman that was caught in adultery, and they want to stone her, and they think that that was the right thing to do. Well, you know, the law of Leviticus says you need to stone the guy and the woman, but for some reason they just felt like they wanted to stone her. I don't know what that's all about.
It's good enough.
But that's what it was, and Jesus, through his grace and his mercy and his love, displayed who God really is. And unless you have a relationship with God, You can't feel that. You can't sense that. You can't understand it. The Bible says we have the mind of God and the mind of Christ. You have that, but you only get that when your life is transformed, when your mind is transformed, when you're that new creation in Christ Jesus, when the old is past. Behold, all things become new, on 2 Corinthians 5:17. I could preach on that forever, because there's a transformation that takes place when the Holy Spirit brings conviction, brings the warmth and the love of God in you, and opens up your mind to the realization of who He is, the realization of heaven, the fact that your sin debt's been covered, and the fact that you have eternal life. And the Holy Spirit comes to live within you to comfort you, to intercede for you when you need interceding. And I can go on and on about that as well. But here's Jesus talking to the Pharisees. In John 8:13, the Pharisees therefore said to him, "You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true." How dare they say that? Jesus answered, said to them, "Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I come from and where I'm going. But you do not know where I've come from and where I'm going." And there's a clash between heaven and the earth, between religion and between God. Because the Pharisees say that you don't know truth. Well, if they're blind, they can't see the fact that Jesus is God, that He is the second person of the Trinity. And they're looking at His miracles, they're looking at His healings, and they're always bringing into question, why are you healing somebody on the Sabbath day? Jesus is kind of responding, why not? Isn't that a good day, like any day, to heal somebody or whatever they got? So the love of God was not in these people. They really didn't know God. What they knew was laws, traditions of men that many denominations still exist, still have. And they believed in that, but they really didn't know Him. Jesus says, "You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me." So Jesus is saying, everything you guys are doing is flesh. And if you really knew me, if you really knew the Father, you'd know me. And Jesus is saying, between the lines, I say, what He is doing is received and is approved by the Father and the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And that He is the second part of the Trinity, but they're in agreement with whatever He did, because Jesus said, "I didn't come to do my own will. I've come to do whatever my Father in heaven says for me to do." So that's what He's doing. As it is written in your law, that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and my Father who sent me bears witness of me. And then in verse 19, it says, they said unto Him, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, would have not known my Father also?" These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as He taught in the temple. No man laid hands on Him, for His time had not yet come. Yes. And so these Pharisees are saying they know the truth. They know what the truth is. And Jesus is saying, no, you don't. You don't have a clue what the truth is. All you're living by, all you're going by are all these things, that these laws and these traditions you believe in, and everything that, and the way people look. But Jesus demonstrated who God is by healing, by touching, by coming along people who were the least of these. And you could go on for hours. But even His disciples questioned Him all the time. Wait, Lord. We don't go through the middle of Samaria. Oh, no, we go around. Jesus says, no, I got a divine appointment with a woman who is down and out, who's been married 5 times, living with a guy right now, and nobody wants her. Even her own city's rejected her. He says, no, I'm going to see her in the middle of the day. When she is there grabbing water, because she doesn't want to be part of the gossip, and the social network of all the people that are there in the morning. And so there she is.
Yes.
And he says, that's who God is. Jesus says, God is love. God is a God who cares with grace and mercy on people. And the Pharisees could see no farther than the front of their eyes. And Jesus had all sorts of names that he called them for their disbelief. And then we jump to John chapter 18. In the time when Pontius Pilate is talking to Jesus in John chapter 18. So Jesus had three religious trials. He had three political trials. And here he is with Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate is talking to him. And just to refresh your memory, Pontius Pilate's wife had a dream about Jesus, where she declared to her husband, don't mess with them, he's innocent. And so Pontius Pilate at this point was in a mess because Rome did not want all of the havoc and all of the unrest and all of the craziness that was going on because of Jesus. They wanted everything calm, cool, collective. They wanted everything to be tranquility. They didn't want the uproar. They didn't want the mess of everything that was happening. And Pontius Pilate was fearing his job, like he could lose his job because there's so much happening there. And it's like, well, what happened if Rome came in and took his job away because he can't control his own area that he was responsible for? So in John 18, before Jesus was sent over and bound over for death, then Pilate entered the praetorium again and called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, are you speaking for yourself about this, or did some others tell you this concerning me? In other words, is this really something you really want to know because you're curious and you want to know, or is it just something other people have told you? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and chief priests have delivered you unto me. What have you done? And so that's a good question. What did you do that's sparring all of this? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should be not delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. And Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause was I born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness of to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. He is a king. He is not only a king, but he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He came into this world before the foundations of the world, where the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit got together. And they looked at sin from every possible angle that there was. 360 degrees. And they looked at it, and they said, Jesus is the answer to all of that.
That's right.
And so he's going to come to be able to be the, I'll say a big word here, it's probably the only big theological word I know, propitiation. But he is the appeasement of the wrath of God upon mankind. He is the answer. But for those that call upon his name, those that believe in the truth that he is, that we are sinners in the hands of an angry God, that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that we need a Savior, those who come to that realization, that truth, and I pray to God everyone does,
yes.
He is the answer to all of that. He is.
Yes.
And his kingdom is not of this world, but his kingdom, of course, is in heaven. And so, 38, Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in him. And so, at this point, trying to appease the crowd, he has a choice between a murderer by the name of Barabbas or let Jesus go, the man who's just done all these miracles, healings, and just did a wonderful, awesome job with people. And they chose Barabbas, the murderer, which further caused Pilate more trouble than what he had already said. But his question was, what is truth? And so what I believe that Pontius Pilate was saying, he was saying that truth is relative. Truth is whatever you want to make it. You make truth what you believe, and I'll believe what I want to believe, and that's truth. But Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through him. And what Jesus brings is an absolute truth, which is contrary to the world's truth. Because the world's truth is not based on the Word of God, it's not based on Jesus, it's based on emotion. And I don't know about you, but 90% of my emotional decisions are bad decisions.
Yep.
But when I think through them and I think about responding to emails or what people criticized before, then I do all right. But absolute is different from relative. You could be a person and believe in relative truth and say, well, I'm going to jump off a 10-story building and everything's going to be cool. Well, absolute truth says you can jump off that building all you want, but it's going to hurt when you get to the bottom. That's absolute truth. And so the Bible tells us, I was just going through my devotions in the book of Judges, and I realized all the way through that how messed up that whole book is. And there were two things that caught my eye that kind of woven out of that book of Judges. Number one, it said there was a generation of people that believed in God, and they passed away, and a new generation came up that neither knew him or wanted him. And so there was another thing that it said constantly through the book of Judges, that people did what was right in their own eyes. And the last thing that I constantly read was there was no king in Israel. And so people were left to their own devices. They were left to do their own thing. And the Word of God tells us that things got messed up. Judgment got messed up. Correctly dividing what was right, what was wrong was messed up. People's consciences that normally would know the difference between right and wrong didn't know that anymore. And as they drifted, and as they drifted farther and farther away, they neither knew God or wanted God, but were getting totally, totally gone. And the Bible tells me, as I was reading in Psalm chapter 9, it's a little harsh, but it just works. The Lord is known by judgment, which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his hands. Hagion Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten, and the expectation of the poor shall not always perish forever. Arise, O God, O Lord, yes, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in his sight. Put them to fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. And come to that realization that they need Jesus.
Yes, yes, yes.
And things got so bad in the book of Isaiah that Isaiah points out in 59:14, so justice is driven back, and the righteousness stands at a distance. Truth has stumbled in the streets. Honestly, cannot enter. The truth became so rare, it became such a rare thing, that people believed what they wanted to believe, and they feared their conscience to be able to believe a lie. Let me give you some good words of wisdom that I learned a long time ago in ministry. No good lie is absent of the truth. No good lie is absent of the truth.
Yes.
Because you need a little bit of truth, a smidgen,
yep,
to bite on in order to think about it, in order to dwell on it, and eventually if you don't let it go and you say, Lord, I'm not receiving this, it's going to grow into a mountain. And you're going to believe the lie, hook, line, and sinker. And it seems like people that I know that have more time on their hands to think about things, it seems like that's even worse with them because they just have more time. And for those that are smart enough not to believe a lie, communism has taught us through the years that if you just keep on saying the lie long enough, you'll get people to believe it, whatever that lie is. Even if it sounds crazy, if you say it long enough, they just believe it. But the good news about the Word of God says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Those that are in bondage, those that I meet that are dealing with addictions. I have two books out now. I got them in my car. I forgot to bring them in. One book is called The Master of Broken Lives. They're both available on Amazon if you want to buy them. Kindle, hardback, or paperback, $6. And the first book I wrote is called The Master of Broken Lives, based on a song by Mercy Me called The Hurt and the Healer. And it talks about how God heals people in the Old Testament like he heals them in the New Testament, and how that same God is able to heal us now. That's the Master of Broken Lives. But the second book I got out, just came out last month, is called Overcome. And it talks about being handicapped and anxiety and addictions. I kind of know a little bit about some of that stuff, so I figured I could write it. But the thing with that I know about anxiety is, and from having to deal with it my whole life, is that your brain is telling you something's true and it's not. You're thinking, oh, if I just go over these mountains, I'm going to fall off to the edge of the mountain and I'm going to hit the bottom. And that's anxiety. But the truth of the matter is, no, you won't. And so your brain is in anxiety, and sometimes in addictions, the anxiety is telling you can't do things, but you can. And so the Lord, this is such a cool story. Last fall, I believe that the Lord cured me of that. I'm not going to go to the top of the Sears building. I'm not there yet, wherever they call it, if it's still called that today. But I'm not going there. Well, what I am saying is I was able to get in my car and I brought my sister Carol with me just in case. In case this thing didn't work out the way I thought God wanted it to work out. And I drove from my house all the way to Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg, Tennessee, through the mountains, had no problem. In fact, on the way back, there was an accident on part of I-40. So they rerouted us, I believe it was I-65 or I-70, I can't remember which one, that goes through Kentucky. Mm. And I knew that that one even had more mountains, and I knew that one even had more hills. And I zinged it all the way through.
Oh, that's good.
And so halfway through the mountains, I needed to go to the bathroom, and I needed to get a cup of coffee. So we stopped at a Love's travel place in the middle of the mountains. I got a coffee mug from them. And I carry it with me to remind me the goodness of God. How the truth will set you free. And the truth of God will set you free from whatever it is that you believe in and whatever is not true. Or false things that you thought were true and they weren't. God set me free on that. And there I am. I had a guy that I interviewed that was at one of the prisons I was at preaching. And he came. And I was interviewing him, and he said, his uncle's in prison, his dad's in prison, he's got a brother that's incarcerated. And he thought it was just normal for him to be in prison. He thought that was normal. And then when he gave his life to the Lord revealed to him, no, that's not normal. That's not the way normal people live their lives. So now he's on his way to Bible college to be a pastor, and God's called him. But the good news is that God is able to separate us from all of these things. And whenever I got a question of what the truth is, John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Your word is truth. This word of God is absolute truth.
Absolutely.
And whenever I'm going through a situation, whenever I'm going through a crisis in my life, I turn to the word of God. I turn to people that I love because I want to know what the truth is of whatever I'm going through. And I've matured long enough in my walk with God. I've been serving God for 35 years. If I'm doing it wrong, I'm shutting it down and saying, Lord, I repent. I'm sorry. I only want to do what you want. I want absolute truth. A couple years ago, I'm going to drag Pastor Mike into a story. Hope he doesn't mind.
No, that's fine.
So I put out like a disco version of a song. And it was kind of an upbeat, dancing type song. And I put Christian words to it, Christian music to it. And I bought some dancers off of Farf to be able to dance to that song. Well, I'm sitting there thinking, this is the greatest thing in the whole world. I got dancers, I got everything going on, and I got the song out, and I'm going to catch all these young chicks that like to be able to dance, and women that like to dance, and they're going to fall in love with Jesus through it. And Mike comes back to me and goes, Mike, their underwear is showing in the video. And I said, oh my God, I just paid a lot of money for these people to do this. But I had to take it down. I had to take it down. I wasn't going to glorify God with women's underwear hanging out. And I don't know what they call it. I'm sure they got a name for whatever that is that they were doing. But Lord knows I didn't know what it was. But I reverted to the scripture, John 4:24. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. But the enemy comes in to whisper into people's lives, especially into this world, especially into the United States. And he lies to them and says, no, you don't need God. You can just do your own thing. You know, the time of God is gone. And John 10:10 says, the thief comes, the devil, but to kill, except to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said that I may come that they may have life, and that they have it more abundantly. There's a clash between the two. And the enemy has come that people don't worship God, don't want to know him, don't live for him, but they live in this relative truth. And it sounds so nice that you could believe whatever you want to believe, that your truth is your truth, and my truth is my truth, and we all live in harmony in this world. But the Bible says you live in harmony when you're saved and you know Jesus, and you make him the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords,
yes,
and you live in absolute truth versus truth that's just relative. Because truth that's just relative doesn't help you. You may wonder why you grieve when somebody dies. You grieve, I grieve when somebody dies because we were not created to see death. We were not created to endure death. We were created for eternity, to be able to live for Christ until sin came into the garden. And so we go to a funeral now and we grieve for those that we lost and those that we loved, because there's an aspect of sin that caused us to be able to feel death now, where we weren't developed that way. We weren't made to develop to see that, but we are. And the same is truth.
Yeah.
We were developed to be able to be truthful, to be able to worship God in truth and spirit, to live in absolute truth. That's how we were created. And I can tell you how that's true. Because in my lifetime, and I'm just turned 66.
Wow.
I know I don't look that old.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just 66. Whatever somebody's lying to me, I can tell because they have to figure out in their mind what they want to say. But if they tell the truth, the words just come right out. It is really that simple. Mark Twain that says, if you tell the truth, there's nothing for you to remember. That's a Mark Twain quote. And it's just, there's nothing for you to, because it's built into you to be able to know the truth. It's built into you to remember what the truth is for whatever it is that you said or your conversation you had with someone. And I love telling the truth in my conversations because I know it's going to come back where I'm going to have to remember what in the world I said. And if I said it in truth, I know it comes back as truth. And I don't have to think about, what was the lie that I said that I made up there? What was that that I did what I shouldn't have done? And you find out that, hey,
that's right. That's good. That's good.
Truth is not relative.
That's right.
Truth is
that's right.
Absolutely from the kingdom of God. It is God who
yes, it is.
Gives us the ability
yes,
to have truth, to have a conscience. Yeah. To know that while we are saying something, we're doing something that's not true, absolute truth, that we can have the ability to be able to repent from that, be able to turn from that, and to be able to, again, be able to live our life. There is truth sets you free. If I have believed a lie, and God's still working in me, all these different things about me, and again, I'm 66, God's still working a lot of things out in me. And every time there's something that God works the truth out in me and I realize that what I believe it was a lie and now I don't have to believe it anymore, it's liberating. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely liberating to know that, absolutely. Wow, I believe now what the truth is of what God says. And it is so wonderful to live in that, because in that absolute truth that God gives you, He shows you He's a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of love. And He is the God who wants to pour that into people's lives. If they'll let Him. If they'll let Him. And I challenge the prisons wherever I go. Are you going to allow God, the Holy Spirit of God, to come into your life, to pour Himself in you, to reveal you the truth, or are you not? I had a friend of mine, his name is Buddy, he did praise and worship for me for years. He struggled a lot with heavy metal Christian music, and he was just coming out of regular metal, secular metal music, and I used him as a good guitar player, and he could sing, and he did Christian music for me, and whatever I want. But he picked up stuff like you did today. But he had this part of his life that was always on the board, teeter-tottering on secular heavy metal music. And I'm driving back from a prison I was preaching at up in Waupun, of all places, in Wisconsin, and he calls me up, and he said he wants to know what my opinion of him is going to see Metallica, who's playing down in Milwaukee. And I said, brother, you're a child of God. You got no business being there. Number two, you're a man who struggles with your faith, and being involved in secular music is just going to draw you, suck you right back into the vortex.
It does. It does.
It, because music is powerful. It's very powerful.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
And so here he is. He got mad at me. He said, well, my wife bought two tickets for us. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, what kind of wife do you have? But I'll let that go for now. So he got mad at me, and he wouldn't talk to me for over a year and a half because I told him the truth. And I told him the truth in love. I did like, I wasn't like in your face. I wasn't like, you got to do this. You got. I wasn't like
sure.
that. I was like, brother,
sure.
think about this. You know the struggle that you have. And I was trying to do it as lovingly as I could, although there was a part of me, the inside of me, was going, I'd like to wrap you alongside the head. But he was mad at me for a year and a half. He went to his concert, and a year and a half went by. His wife called me and said he's in the hospital, having all sorts of stomach issues, having all sorts of things going on in his body. I got there to visit him, and he's in tears. He said, Brother Mike, I am so sorry that I shut you out when you were telling me the truth. He says, I know now that you were telling me the truth of love, and I never should have went, because now that I got back into that, look at all the stuff that's happening to me.
Yeah.
The truth will set people free if you want to believe it.
That's right.
Maybe today, maybe there's something inside of us right now in this room. As I close, maybe there's a part of us that are believing the lie because it's convenient.
Sure, sure.
it's not easy to confront things in your life because sometimes all the ugliness or whatever that is comes out. And I just went through the experience recently, so I'm all there. I know about that. But my prayer is today for you, us today, that if there is something in our lives right now that we're holding back or we believe the lie, we just don't want to give it to God. We don't want God to give us absolute truth. We're living in that relative truth and we just think it's the greatest thing that we're buying into that. And God is can be convicting at us and says, no, man, you got to, no, you got to get rid of that. And I'll throw myself in the mix. So here's my prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the time that I could be here today.
Yes, God.
To be able to worship and to praise you. To be with this fine group of people that you have given me with. Lord, I pray right now if there's anything within us that's not believing absolute truth from your word.
Yes, God.
We have bought into the lie of the enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you'd remove that out of us.
Yes, God.
As far as Jesus West never to return no more, Lord.
Yes, God.
That you would take away that which we either by omission or commission believed.
That's right.
And Lord, I pray that you would cast that into the sea of forgetfulness. I pray, Lord God, even today that there would be a time of liberation, a time to be liberated out of that lie. Even if we didn't even know that we were being lied to. But Lord, through your love, through your grace, through your mercy, as we got to praise and worship and the Holy Spirit had his way here, Holy Spirit work into these lives, including mine, and release us, Lord God, release us from anything and everything that's not of you. And Lord, we'll praise you for the absolute truth that you've given us. And Lord, we're thankful, Lord God, that even though that we're living in the end of the end times, we can take comfort in prophecy and knowing, Lord God, that even in the midst of all the chaos that's going on in this world right now, Lord God, we know, Lord God, that everything that's being done right now is according to your word, according to the fulfillment of prophecy for the end times. So we don't need to fear, Lord God. We don't need to fear that the end times and the things are unraveling the way they are. All we need to do, Lord, is read your word. And your word tells us that all these things that are happening right now would happen. So, Lord, we take comfort in that as well. We praise you and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.